Psalm 16, and hold your finger there. And before we read the psalm, I want to read a passage out of Acts chapter 2. Now, Peter is quoting this psalm on the day of Pentecost, if you look in Acts chapter 2. He had just quoted Psalm 16, and then he said in verse 29 of Acts chapter 2, after he quoted this passage in Psalm 16, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption." Now that passage of scripture tells us that when David was writing this psalm, he knew exactly what he was saying. He knew that he was speaking of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's go to Psalm 16, and let's keep that in mind as we read this psalm together. When David wrote this, David knew he was writing of the Christ. Now look in Psalm 16. "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust." Now remember, this is Christ speaking. Yes, it's David speaking, but preeminently, it's Christ speaking. "O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord, who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Now this is quoted by both Peter and Paul in their first public addresses as referring to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, would you turn with me back to Acts chapter 2 and see how Peter uses this? Acts chapter 2, verse 23. This is that great sermon on the day of Pentecost. "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised from the dead. He's raised him up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it for David. Now he's quoting Psalm 16. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. For he is at my right hand that I should not be moved. This is Christ speaking, David says. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Now that was in Psalm 16. Look in Acts chapter 13. Beginning in verse 33. This is Paul's first public message. God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it's also written in the second psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to see corruption, he saith on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he also saith in another psalm, the one we were just reading, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation, by the will of God fell on sleep, and he was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up again saw no corruption. Be it known therefore unto you, my brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. So we see in Psalm 16, this is used to demonstrate and to reveal the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's go back to Psalm 16 and look at each verse. The Lord says, and David says this as well, but this is, we see David knew when he was writing this psalm, he was speaking of Christ. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Now we pray this prayer, don't we? Lord, preserve me. What will happen to you if the Lord doesn't preserve you? How bad will you go? How bad will I go? We pray, Lord, preserve me. But this is the Lord Jesus Christ praying this prayer. Lord, preserve me. He trusted his Father completely. Lord, preserve me, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, verse 2, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Now listen to this. My goodness. Who's the only one who could speak of his goodness? If I said my goodness, it'd be wrong, wouldn't it? There's only one good, that's the Lord. The Lord Jesus is speaking, and it says, my goodness, it doesn't extend to you. What's he mean by that? My righteousness is no addition to yours. It doesn't extend to you. It extends to the saints that are in the earth. This is talking about the righteousness of Jesus Christ, his goodness, his righteousness, his law-keeping, being counted to his people. Now, my goodness doesn't extend to you. It extends to the saints which are in the earth. And look how they're described. The excellent in whom is all my delight. This is how the Lord views his people. He views you as the excellent of the earth, in whom is all his delight. This is how the Lord views his people, the excellent of the earth, in whom is all his delight. Go on reading. Verse 4, their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. Now, those who hasten after a false god, now remember this, God is who he is. And any presentation of God that is not like the God of the Bible is a false god. Now, the Lord says those who hasten after another god, a false concept of God. God said, I am that I am. I'm so thankful he said that. I am that I am. God is as he is. And any God presented that's not this God, the God of the Bible, is a false God. Now, the Lord says, their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their name into my lips. Now, what that is talking about is the intercession of Christ. If I hasten after another God, what Christ did will do me no good. He's not going to take my name into his lips and present my name before the Father. And that's my only hope, is that the Lord represents me. And if he doesn't represent me, I have no hope. That's what the intercession of Christ means. It means he brings my name before the Father and says, he's one of mine. I represented him. And if I hasten after a false God, a false concept of God, I prove by that I don't know the living God. And he says, what I have done is going to be of no benefit whatsoever to them. Those that hasten after another God, I won't take their names in my mouth. My sacrifice is not for them. Let's go on reading verse 5. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. Now, what an inheritance. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. Now, when we think of inheritance, we think of what we'll get. How much money we'll get. How? Well, the Lord says the Lord himself is my inheritance. He's the portion of my cup. What an inheritance he is. And listen to this. If you're a believer, you're a joint heir with Christ. All that is coming to him is coming to you. He said, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. Thou maintainest my lot. He maintains us. That's his part of preserving us. Verse 6. The Lord says, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Everything's going to be for my good. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. And that's the reason everything is going to be good for the believer, is because everything's good for Christ. That's why we can count on all things working together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, because everything is good for Christ. You see, the Father delights in the Son, and he's given all things into his hand. And that's why he makes this statement. I have a goodly heritage. Verse 7, he says, I will bless the Lord, who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I'll bless the Lord. Now, this is talking about his love for his Father. He's given me counsel. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ trusted his Father even in the dark. And that can't describe me and you. I wish it did. But as soon as something goes wrong, we're questioning everything. But not the Lord. He said, he's given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. And I have no doubt that's talking about when the whole earth turned dark. And he was left in the darkness on Calvary's tree. Now look what he says in verse 8. He says, I have set the Lord always before me. Now who could say that but Christ? Could you say that? For one thing, I would feel uncomfortable saying, I've set the Lord anywhere. I can't do that. He's God. I can't set him somewhere. But he who is equal with his Father, he said, I've set the Lord always before me. Only the Lord Jesus Christ could say that. He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. And I don't have any doubt that when he says that, he's talking about his dead body. His flesh will rest. He never went through the process of decay. What happened during those 3 days of his death, I have no idea. But he says, my flesh shall rest in hope. That's so incredible to me to think that Jesus Christ, the God-man, died. That's one of the most mysterious things. He died. I know why he died. Sin. The sins of his people became his. He became guilty of the commission of those sins, and the Father killed him. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. Jesus Christ died because the sins of his people became his. But look what it says in verse 10, 4. Now here's why my flesh shall rest in hope. And he's talking about when he's in that tomb. Here's why my flesh shall rest in hope. Dwell confidently in hope. 4, verse 10. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, in the grave. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Now this is used by both Peter and Paul in their first sermons with regard to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the very heart and soul of the gospel of Jesus Christ is found in his resurrection. Now, when you and I die, you know what's going to happen? The process of decay will begin. And I don't know what all's involved in that, but it's not very pleasant. You know that. The process of decay will begin. When the Lord Jesus Christ died, there was no process of decay. That's why he said, my flesh shall rest in hope. And the reason there was no process of decay is because the moment he died, all the sins of God's people were put away, paid for. And God said with everybody that Jesus Christ died for, I am satisfied with them. They have no sin. They are perfect in my sight. Now, what a glorious thing that is to think of. And that's what the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ tells us. It tells me that right now, while I'm speaking to you, aware of my own sinfulness, aware of my own weakness, and I could go on and on about that, and you could too, but when God sees me, he sees someone that's never sinned. That's what his death, his life, his death, and his resurrection accomplished. God looks at me and he sees someone who has never sinned, who has always done that which is right, and has never done anything that is wrong. That's how God sees you if you're a believer. And let me remind you, how God sees things is the way they really are. The way we see things, we don't see very clearly. But the way God sees things are the way they really are. And that's what the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ tells us. And this is what he is speaking of. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 13. Thou will not leave my soul in hell or in the grave. Don't you love to think about the Lord being dead in that tomb? Darkness. And all of a sudden, he opens his eyes. He breathes. He's been raised from the dead. Now, nobody witnessed this but the Father. But he gets up, takes his grave clothes off. I don't know how the stone was rolled away. Maybe it was an angel. Maybe he just willed it out of the way. And he walked out of that tomb. The living Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a glorious thing to celebrate. Now, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Holy One, isn't he? I love the way he calls himself the Holy One. He's the Holy One. And everybody in him is holy, but only he is holy in and of himself. He's the Holy One. And thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer, allow thine Holy One to see corruption, decay. Now, I think it's interesting as we were reading in Acts. Let's go back there. Hold your finger there and go back to Acts chapter 2. This is Peter's great sermon on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Notice he says in verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death. Now look at this next phrase, because it was not possible. Under no circumstance was it possible for him to stay dead. Now, why was it not possible? Because he put away the sins of everybody he died for. And those sins are gone. And the only reason for sin is, the only reason for death is sin. And if there is no sin, there's no death. He was raised up. It was not possible for him to be holden of death because of his achievements on Calvary's tree. That is what he accomplished. Now look what it says in verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now, I love to think of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's speaking of knowing that he's going to be raised from the dead. He says, thou wilt show me the path of life. Even though I'm going to be dead in that tomb, you will show me the path of life. You see, he believed his Father completely. Even when he was on the cross, he knew he was going to die and he knew God was going to raise him from the dead. Yet he was in utter darkness. He didn't have any light from his Father. He felt no favor from his Father. Yet in spite of all that, he never quit believing God. He said, you will show me the path of life. I know that for a fact. It's going to happen. You will show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And he knew he was going to be brought and ushered into the very presence of God, where there's fullness of joy. Now, I don't even know what all that means. Neither do you, neither does anybody else. But it sure sounds glorious, doesn't it? The joy that exists between the Father and the Son. Fullness of joy. And every believer possesses that in the Lord Jesus Christ. This fullness of joy we have. Fullness, not partial. Fullness of joy. The fullness of joy is seen in the complete acceptance we have in the Beloved. The complete salvation we have in the Beloved. There's fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. The place he sat down at the Father's right hand, there's fullness of joy and pleasures evermore. Now I want to close by looking at Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now that doesn't mean we were physically dead. Physical death is the end of that. But we were dead in trespasses and sins in the sense of what can a dead man do with regard to life? Nothing. Can't breathe. Can't feel, can't see, can't taste. He can't do anything. And the spiritually dead man can't do anything with regard to spiritual life. He can't believe, he can't repent, he can't love, he can't see God, he can't see himself. He's dead. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, but God. There's the difference. Not but you turned it around. Not but you of your own free will accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But God. That's the difference. Somebody once said, here's what grace is. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Now notice that. Quickened us together with Christ. When Christ was raised from the dead, you know who else was? Everybody he represented. Notice the language. He quickened us together with Christ. When Christ opened his eyes, I opened mine eyes. When Christ was raised perfect before the Father, so was every believer. Let's go on reading. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Now remember the way he was talking about at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Well, look at this, verse 6. And he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heaven in Christ Jesus. Now, at his right hand there are pleasures evermore. Jesus Christ is at his right hand, and so is everybody that he died for. And we're seated together right now. I've heard people say, well, I'm for sure for heaven as if I was already there. Well, for one thing, when somebody says something like that, they're kind of exposing the fact that I doubt that you're really that sure. You're saying that, but I don't believe you. But I'm not as sure for heaven as if I were already there. I'm already there. In Christ Jesus, I am already there. And at his right hand, there are pleasures evermore.